you all for giving me a chance to come. I mean, there's nothing more illustrative of the issues that this community faces than to think that we're now dry. We're on dry land.
Dry land. Oh, yeah, man, we've been out to sea for, it just seems like so long. Now we're on dry land. That was your president talking. Bush went on his semi-annual aerial tour of the still devastated Gulf Coast area of the world today, as he puts it. Flitting about in his Marine One helicopter, ironically dodging the terrible and deadly storms that are still peppering the Southeast here and the upper Midwest. Here in the Southeast, it's been tornadoes and extremely heavy windstorms and rain. Just for your information, we were looking at the reports coming in from Hartsfield Airport here about half an hour ago. There's another line of intense storms heading right for Atlanta. They're crossing the Alabama border now. If this program has a blip in the middle of it, or if Phoenix is forced to put on a taped, or I'm sorry, pre-recorded program at some point within the next 3 hours, that's the reason. We, so far here in Atlanta, have dodged the bullet. The situation in Enterprise, Alabama, was just horrific. Just horrific. But so typical of this totally out of touch with reality so-called president. He was just oblivious to the ongoing problems in the area he was touring. Going on about success and bright spots and optimism in the region now that it's dry. We're on dry land. The only remaining problem in the Gulf Coast is that the money the American taxpayers were generous enough to give to the victims in that part of the world, the money is too sticky. No, I don't know what he's saying, but that's right out of the sound bites I'm going to play for you in a second. Yeah, moron sounds tonight. Not a lot. Not enough to trigger your gag reflex, but you have to hear this heartless bastard who doesn't have a clue as to what's going on in the Mississippi Gulf Coast area. It's just unbelievable. Oh, he's also angry with the wetlands for causing the hurricane. Yeah, I know. No. I understand. Wetlands are buffers against violent storms like hurricanes. But to Bush, wetlands cause hurricanes, which is another clear indication of how tuned in and plugged in he is to what's going on or what happened in the area that he visited. Yeah, wetlands cause it. You think I'm kidding? We'll share that bit of brilliance a bit later in the program. No matter what this turkey says, no matter where he goes, no matter who he's talking with, the gross, almost brain-damaged ignorance that comes spewing out of him is just, it's beyond an embarrassment. When you think about the people who a year and a half after Katrina, is still scattered around the country, unemployed, their lives absolutely shattered, people dead. Everything from missing relatives, dead relatives, to missing and dead pets, to homes smashed, living in mold, rat-infested FEMA trailers, no jobs, no food, no medical care. Records destroyed that were in courthouses, records of property deeds, marriages, births, deaths, and this unconscionable bastard goes down there to, well, you'll hear him. Now, before we get to the national stuff, a couple of Bush foreign policy items here. According to Human Rights Watch, one of the most respected organizations that keep track of that sort of thing, human rights on this planet, according to a new report, up to 38 people who apparently were held in secret CIA prisons are missing. Missing. Okay, what's 38? You know, we've lost almost 3,100, where's the total now, Kathy? I don't even know. Dead in Iraq. 38 people. New report by Human Rights Watch also details one of Bush's detainees' allegations that he was held for 2 years at a so-called black site. That means it doesn't exist, where he was kept naked, chained to the wall of his cell so tightly he could not stand up. Stress positions that made it difficult to breathe. He was threatened with being put in a dog box if he didn't cooperate. He told Human Rights Watch he'd been beaten, burned with a hot metal rod, and had string tied tightly to his penis to prevent him from urinating. Human Rights Watch has demanded, this will get a response, that Bush explain where these 38 disappeared have gone. Bush has said that inmates in his little gulag are subjected to what he calls tough interrogation methods. What does George Bush know about tough anything, huh? What an animal. Human Rights Watch said it feared the missing prisoners may have been transferred to foreign prisons where they remain under the CIA's effective control, or transferred to countries where they may face further torture. We don't talk about this. We really don't. We don't talk about it on the news. We don't talk about that much on this program. We are a country that sanctions torture. We are a country that am I using the word sanctions correctly there? We are a country that uses, encourages, and commits torture. Torture. This is what we do now. How do we explain that to the middle schoolers? You know, the fifth, sixth, and seventh graders, or sixth, seventh, and eighth graders, when we're explaining American history and government, when we talk about, the Bataan Death March, do they still talk about World War II in history class, or is that too negative, or is it spun to the point where it's gibberish? But do we still teach about how the various societies, when they've waged war against one another, have used torture, but the United States always kind of held itself above that? What do we tell our little darlings now about that? What are we going to tell Molly, Kathy, when she's old enough where, she starts learning stuff in school? Of course, we will be filling her head with political stuff long before she ever gets to school. But how do we tell an innocent child? How do I tell my two or three grandchildren?
Well, I would just say to Molly or your grandchildren or anybody's kids that some very, very bad people have hijacked the Great American Experiment, and Mommy and Daddy are working very, very hard to get it back, along with lots of other Americans.
Well,
who still love and value this country.
But a kid, you see, that doesn't satisfy a kid. A kid is going to say, well, what's taken so long? Or a kid's going to say, well, how did it happen? Or a kid's going to say, well, I don't see you doing anything. I don't know. I guess the question is more rhetorical than anything else.
And then I would say to Molly, you don't see Mommy and Daddy working because you're sleeping. You're all cozy tucked away, and Mommy and Daddy are hard at work.
I don't know. I'm sure the pig man, the filthy, degenerate Rush Limbaugh, will begin making Eskimo jokes pretty quickly, even though the word Eskimo is much akin to calling African Americans Negroes. Why? Why will Rush Limbaugh soon be making Eskimo jokes? Stick around just for a couple of minutes through this break, and I'll tell you on the other side. This is Nova M Radio. I'm Mike Malloy.
Be taught to be afraid of people whose eyes are oddly made, and people whose skin is a different shade. You've got to be be careful, he taught. You've got to be taught before it's too late, before you are 6 or 7 or 8, to hate all the people your relatives hate. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to.
No American will be allowed to torture another human being anywhere in the world.
Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay. Democracy is coming.
What Bush didn't add is that unless the torture is conducted by some of his cohorts, if he does it, just like Nixon said, if the president does it, it's not illegal. All right, why will Rush Limbaugh be making Eskimo jokes soon? Well, the story starts out about 60 nations have launched what's being referred to as the broadest scientific investigation yet of the Arctic and Antarctic to chart these polar regions as to how they're being affected by global climate change. And there was a meeting in Paris here recently. Also, researchers are gathering on a polar research vessel in Cape Town, South Africa. And to add the little kitty touch to it, 3,000 children built snowmen in Oslo, Norway, as part of ceremonies that starts what is referred to as the International Polar Year. Now, all this is happening as the Inuit people, the ones that Limbaugh will refer to as Eskimos, the Inuit people of northern Canada have taken the United States to court for being the greatest greenhouse gas producers in the world. An Inuit woman, Sheila Watt Clotier, who has been nominated along with Al Gore for a Nobel Peace Prize for the work on climate change, Ms. Watt Clotier said, quote, "Our way of life is at stake." She adds that the Inuit have been trying to tell the world for more than a decade about what they've noticed, the shifting wind and thinning ice that have dramatically hurt the hunting patterns that their people have followed for thousands of years. Now, to a pig, a useless human being like Limbaugh or his some of his clones, the answer to that would be, well, why are you people still hunting? Why don't you get a job at your local McDonald's or something? You know, this is all very quaint and makes great target for snotty, half-assed comments from a filthy human being like Rush Limbaugh. So if he hasn't already begun, I'm sure he will soon begin, because Limbaugh is and has been one of the most vocal and ardent advocates for to hell with even thinking about such a liberal scam as global warming. And he has been for years. You know, this guy is sickening. He's just a sickening, bloated thug. So look for the Eskimo jokes to begin on the pigs program. Miss Watt Clotier, the Inuit woman, is preparing to make the case for the Inuit people before the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights. You think that'll help? Huh? You think that'll get folks' attention? One more thing here. Globally. Oh, by the way, before I forget, when we talked to John Neems in Las Vegas the other night, last night. He mentioned the name of a website, and you got to go check it out. It's the Pentacon, not the Pentagon, but the P-E-N-T-A-C-O-N, thepentacon.com, thepentacon.com. Interesting site. Check it out. Check it out. And regarding that, I got an email today or last night that I answered today from somebody who, among other things, suggested that, you know, I was too gullible where it concerned the 9/11 stuff, that my emailer had either friends or friends of friends who in the Pentagon who saw parts of the jetliner that the Bush crime family says slammed into the Pentagon and saw broken bodies and all this debris. And my emailer also told me that it is known physics that when a jetliner hits a concrete wall, so to speak, that it will disintegrate. And if there's no pieces left, that's because of the nature of the collision. And he went on, and he wasn't being a real freak, but you know, he went on and on. And I wrote him back, and I just said, look, with the scores of video cameras that were and pretty much always have been for the past 15, 20, 30 years that surround both the interior and exterior of the Pentagon, why has not one single tiny bit of tape or one single still been released by anyone in the Bush crime family or the Pentagon that shows this jetliner hurtling inches above the ground into the Pentagon? Playing God, so you think we need him? While being ass cross, take away your rights.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
It's about 26 before the hour. And just a little postscript regarding all those. I have no idea how many there are. I'm sure it's classified. But I'll bet you there's scores of cameras, video cameras that surround the Pentagon. And, you know, would notice if a bird fell to the ground off of some wire or something. And nothing has ever been released. And Reggie sent me an email and said, yeah, and why were all the security tapes from the surrounding buildings confiscated and never released? Wouldn't you think that the simplest way to take the conspiracy freaks where it concerns those who believe it was not an airplane, but some sort of missile that hit the Pentagon. Wouldn't it be the simplest thing? Huh? How easy would this be? To release a tape that showed this airliner plowing into the side of the Pentagon. And just say, there, you left-wing hippie conspiracy freak thugs, there you are! How simple would that be? So you got to wonder why such a tape has not been released. Is it because none exists? Or is it because they just don't care? You know, maybe they have huge, all sorts of full-color, minutes-long movies of the jet approaching the Pentagon and slamming into the building, and they just say, ah, screw them, we're not going to release anything.
To me, the biggest piece of evidence that there's some cover-up of something, whatever you believe the something is, that you're not getting the full picture, is the fact that the Bush crime family worked so hard to stop an investigation. If you had a president and a vice president and a federal government that was so concerned about the American people and getting to the bottom of it and finding the truth and protecting America from this horrible threat and this terrible tragedy, and you know, wouldn't they want a 9/11 commission?
Oh, God.
Wouldn't they not fight trying to get to the... Yeah. I mean, why didn't they want people to know?
Yeah, well...
Hello?
Hello, indeed. Pakistan yesterday rejected a claim by the U.S. intelligence chief. That would be Mike McConnell. He's the guy that replaced Negroponte, Was it Negroponte or was it Chertoff? Who was the intelligence? Yeah, it was Negroponte who's recently left that job. First U.S. intelligence chief. And Negroponte moved over where he can get closer to the action, to the bloodletting. But U.S. intelligence chief Mike McConnell told a Senate Armed Service Committee hearing that Al-Qaeda is setting up training camps and other operations in Pakistan, in areas near the Afghan border, and that probably this guy, what's his name, all these made-up names that they come up with, Bin Laden, that they're all hiding in there. Well, Pakistan yesterday rejected that and said if anybody has any proof, you know, Brian, tell us what it is. Pakistan's military dictator and good friend of George Bush, Pervez, I love his first name, Musharraf, acknowledged that what he calls foreign militants were in Pakistan's tribal regions along the Afghan border, and he warned them to leave. Get out of here, you bad guys! It was not clear from the report that was broadcast by a state-run agency in Pakistan. It was not clear whether Musharraf named any particular militants. What's he going to do? Is he going to go on the radio and name all these guys and say, "Now get out of town, get out of there, get out of the Badlands"? What did Bush call it the other day? It's rough territory. It's wild territory. It's worse than the Wild Wild West. Musharraf said all this after U.S. intelligence chief Mike McConnell said that all these bad guys were being given sanctuary in Pakistan. McConnell said it's something we're very, very worried about and very concerned about. He said that U.S. intelligence officials believe that Bin Laden and Ayman al-Zawahiri, his deputy, are establishing al-Qaeda bases in the region. The interior minister of Pakistan said, "We deny it." Now, if you think maybe Mike McConnell is onto something, then how about this? I didn't see this on the news. This is from The Australian, the largest daily newspaper in Australia. And it's Dateline today. It says the Bush administration is backing away from its long-held view that North Korea is secretly enriching uranium, leading some experts to believe the U.S. intelligence that started the crisis over North Korea's nuclear ambitions, that intelligence may have been flawed. The story is the chief intelligence officer, U.S. intelligence officer for North Korea, a guy named Joseph Detrani, told Congress on Tuesday of this week that while the U.S. is confident North Korea acquired materials that could be used in a, quote, production scale, end quote, uranium program, there was only, quote, mid-confidence, end quote, such a program exists. That's what the Washington Post reported yesterday. What the hell is mid-confidence? The comments follow a similar admission from the U.S.'s chief negotiator for disarmament talks, Christopher Hill, who told a Washington conference last week it's unclear whether North Korea even ever mastered the production techniques necessary for such a program. The Washington Post reported Hill as saying if the materials North Korea bought did not go into a highly enriched uranium program, maybe they went somewhere else. Fine, we can have discussion about where they went and where they are now. End quote. What? Oh, my God. Now, keeping all this in mind, the Bush crime family will begin what is referred to as landmark talks this coming Monday on normalizing relations with North Korea, a regime once branded as part of an axis of evil by U.S. President George W. Bush. So now there's a question as to whether have the North Korean shot off missiles? Yes. Yes, they have. Yes, they have. What was on the missiles? Nobody knows. Is there a nuclear program inside North Korea? Well, apparently, there's a big question now that it even exists. The Washington Post said yesterday that the Bush administration's latest equivocation over North Korea's uranium enrichment activity stood in sharp contrast to the certainty about all this expressed in 2002 when the U.S. accused the North Koreans of running a uranium program and demanded it be dismantled at once. The accusation backfired, sparking events that led to North Korea's first nuclear test using another material, plutonium, nearly 5 months ago. So what does this mean?
Okay, well, they don't have any uranium, but they've got plutonium.
Now, if they have plutonium, it probably only means one thing. They're getting it from Pakistan. I mean, plutonium is a byproduct. You don't go mine plutonium. Do you? Where's Reggie when I need her? Come on, somebody correct me on that. No,
biology here. Biology.
I know. But plutonium is a byproduct. It's not, let's go down to the plutonium mine and get some plutonium. So if when the North Koreans had their little atomic test, if such a test occurred, nobody even knows. Nobody even knows. Whether there was, that was about 5 months ago, and the Chinese, the North Koreans said, well, we have set off a nuclear bomb. And everybody went, oh, really? Did you? Where? When? It didn't appear, apparently, on anybody's radar, and everybody was waiting for the telltale marks of a nuclear test, which would be radioactivity in the atmosphere, in the prevailing winds. From North Korea, I don't know where it goes, South Korea, China, India, who knows? But eventually, you can, with the sophisticated detection equipment that everybody has now, one can ascertain rather rapidly whether or not there really was a nuclear explosion. So the North Koreans say, yeah, we set one off. We used plutonium. Did they? But apparently, the uranium program doesn't even exist. David Albright, a respected former UN inspector, also cast out last week, likening the intelligence on North Korea's uranium facility to the discredited intelligence before the invasion of Iraq, that Baghdad was building a nuclear program. Remember all that? Let's not forget, it was only 5 years ago. The greatest threat since Hitler. Oh, wait a minute. That was Pappy Bush. That's right. Pappy Bush labeled Saddam the greatest threat since Hitler. Don't you get tired of this? Don't you get tired of this? So now we have this incredible story that U.S. intelligence people and inspectors are saying, doesn't look like there's any there yet again. I mean, this is unbelievable. I guess. Don't be destructive. Turn him loose tonight.
The Mike Malloy Show on Nova M Radio. Talk radio matters here.
Ten before the hour. Also, it's been suggested that next time some idiot wants to convince me that a jetliner really did fly into the Pentagon, to ask that person to get one credible scientist to explain why no other aircraft in history has disintegrated on impact with anything, as we are supposed to believe happened to both the Pentagon plane and Flight 93 in Pennsylvania. Reggie writes, geez, we had body parts and wreckage from both shuttle disasters and not a single piece from either of these so-called crashes. Planes that crash most often crash into cement and never vaporize. Never. Oh, well. Now, one little piece of sound here. Jimmy Carter was interviewed this past Sunday on ABC's This Week by Judas Stephanopoulos. And I want to play this little soundbite for you because it pertains to Cheney. But, you know, Carter's caught a lot of crap for his book, Palestine, Peace, Not Apartheid. But he's still brave enough also to tackle Lord Cheney. Judas Stephanopoulos asked what steps Carter would take to stop the Iraq war, Carter's been advocating, calling it one of the, Carter's been calling it one of the biggest foreign policy mistakes in U.S. history. Stephanopoulos said, would you be for cutting off funding for the mission?
Not for troops already over there, no. But I would be willing to see a limit on funds that would apply to an increase in troops.
So capping the level of
Absolutely.
Troops. Vice President Cheney this week has been very harsh on those kinds of measures in the Congress.
If we were to do what Speaker Pelosi and Congressman Murtha are suggesting, all we'll do is validate the Al-Qaeda strategy. The Al-Qaeda strategy is to break the will of the American people.
Well, if you go back and see what Vice President Cheney has said for the last 3 or 4 years concerning Iraq, I mean, his batting average is abysmally low. He hasn't been right on hardly anything in his prediction of what was going to happen, reasons for going over there. And obviously, you know, this is not playing into the hands of Al-Qaeda or the people who are causing violence and destruction over there to call for a change in policy in Iraq.
And the thing that gets me, if that little soundbite within the soundbite there of Cheney saying the Al-Qaeda strategy is to break the will of the American people, if that's the case, why is this filthy, impeachable rat bastard sending cash then to Sunni groups that are connected to Al-Qaeda, that are funding Al-Qaeda? See, this is the part that makes me furious. It's one thing to expect this subhuman Dick Cheney and everybody around him to lie. But it's something else again for these people to be funding the very people they insist are our enemies, that are killing our people, that are killing innocent Iraqis. That's the story, right? That's what's going on, isn't it? And Bush and Cheney and the United States government under these two is funding, along with the usual crew of Saudi suspects, the Saud royal family, Prince Bandar, who Bush likes to kissy face and hold hands with. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but for Christ's sake, why are we funding the people who are killing our soldiers? No, not we, wrong pronoun. Why are they, the Bush crime family? I thought Bush said, of course, I thought my rear end. We all know what Bush said. If you harbor a terrorist or fund a terrorist or have anything to do with a terrorist or smell like a terrorist or think like a terrorist or wave your tail like a terrorist, you are a terrorist. And yet here's Cheney and Bush and the rest of this corrupt government in the United States of America providing God only knows how many dollars to Sunni groups like MEK that are terrorist organizations by definition and who are in turn funding. MEK's not funding, but the Saudi government, the Saudi royal family that is getting this money, some of this money, is funding these organizations. It's astonishing. And MEK does have a link to Al-Qaeda. But the American people are just, you know, that's us. We're just, oh, war on terror, war on terror, war on terror, war on terror. Go get them, guys. War on terror, war on terror, war on terror. Thank God for George Bush, who's protecting the homeland, fighting the war on terror. Because, you know, back in the day, we used to be an island over here where, you know, we were safe. War on terror, war on terror, war on terror. Watch out, here they come, here they come. Here come those Arabs, those Muslims, those Islamists. War on terror, war on terror. Bombs, bombs. I don't know. Almost it seems pointless to talk about it. Rod in Lindsay, Ontario, in the Great North, says, Mike, a few musings on your jetliner into the Pentagon remarks. Wouldn't a most important proof be of it, the crash, be the list of unfortunate crew and passengers who met their demise? I don't recall CNN or anyone else scrolling a memorial list, but surely that list has been made public. And, of course, their bereaved relatives could tell us what happened to their loved ones, or at least what they were told happened to them. If the designated plane didn't hit the Pentagon, what did happen to it and the passengers? Have I missed something, whichever way you slice it? Please inform your devoted listener, Rod, and his last name in Lindsay, Ontario, Canada. I wish I could, Rod. I am in one of the most in-the-dark people in North America, where it concerns what happened on September 11, 2001. I just know that it stinks. I do not believe the story put out by the Bush crime family. But I don't have a clue. I have no idea. I have no idea. I couldn't even begin. Not only could I not connect the dots, I can't even tell you where the dots are. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. Stay with us. Welcome back. About 7 past the hour. Prairie 2 says, hey, Mike, yes, plutonium is a reactor byproduct, and the small size of the North Korean blast would indicate a device too sophisticated for the North Koreans. The Chinese would be able to build these, and since they can't do testing under treaty, might want somebody else to host the test for them. That's a very good point. Oh, God. If you want to read a real good article, it just went up on the website over at TV News Lies. It's 9/11 in Perspective, Flight 93, and World Trade Center Building 7. It just went up. Go to TVNewsLies.org, and click on Editor's Blog. TVNewsLies.org, and click on Editor's Blog. I read the first couple, three paragraphs here, and we'll have to read it after the program, but it looks like something you might want to read. TVNewsLies.org, click on Editor's Blog. A lot of activity today on Walter Reed Medical Center. People are being fired. Robert Gates sounds like he's very pissed off. On NBC's Meet the Press last Sunday, Senator Carl Levin was asked about this by media whore number one, Tim Russert. And I just want to play one quick cut for you. Now that the Democrats are back in charge of Congress, they won't allow the abuses of our troops to go unreported, as did these filthy, disgusting, unpatriotic, America-hating, yellow ribbon support the troops Republicans who just turned my stomach. So Tim Russert asks Senator Levin about the Walter Reed scandal and upcoming hearings on it. There's going to be some hearings. Russert says, Senator, this is on the cover of Newsweek. Quote, shattered in body and mind, too many veterans are facing poor care and red tape. Why we're failing our wounded, end quote. It goes on to say, one reason to worry about a crush of new vets at the VA has to do with the proportion of wounded to dead. Americans in Iraq. In Vietnam and Korea, about 3 Americans were wounded for everyone who died. The ratio in World War II was nearly 2 to 1. In Iraq, it's 16 to 1. Of 17 American soldiers who are hit, only one will die. 16 will go on for some sort of surgery, recuperation, a lifetime of trying to exist with missing body parts. So Senator Levin, media whore number one, Tim Russert, asks, could your committee have done more oversight with the Walter Reed issue?
Sure. I think there was a lack of oversight here for the last many years for a number of reasons. And by the way, I think in part it was because it was a Republican Congress and a Republican president that they didn't want to embarrass the president in a whole host of areas. But we have a responsibility. What we need, a surge, is not in Iraq. We need a surge of concern for our troops, for the veterans, for the injured, for the wounded, for the families of those who have lost loved ones. That's the surge of concern, and that's the surge that we need. We're going to have a hearing a week from Tuesday on the Walter Reed situation. We're going to take all the steps that are needed. These young men and women deserve everything we can possibly give them.
Well, the one thing they really deserve, Senator, with all due respect, is for you and your Democratic partners to get them the hell out of Iraq. We don't belong here. But did you hear that? A Republican Congress didn't do anything, even though it was common knowledge, because they didn't want to embarrass this rat bastard George Bush. Huh? How about that? How about that? How many Americans with a family member who, let's just make up an example, was blown to pieces by an IED in Iraq but survived? Survived the trauma medicine in Ramstein Air Base or wherever they take them in Germany, sent them to Walter Reed, where the wounds developed gangrene and a limb or two that was left on had to come off. But we don't want to embarrass the president, you see. The Republicans didn't want to embarrass the president. Hence, the Senate Armed Services Committee, when Senator Levin was a minority member, would not call hearings. Would not expose the filth and corruption of one more issue that this corrupt Bush crime family has added its poison to. It's amazing the depth of the corruption of this filthy regime. And you know what else? Robert Bezell, who is the chief science and health correspondent for NBC News, reported a couple of days ago, in Iraq, a head wound doesn't always mean you're going to go home. Military personnel with brain injuries are pressured to return to duty. Bezell wrote, when I arrived in Iraq recently, I had a question for the leaders of the medical staff. Last year, when I was reporting on the treatment of brain injuries among troops returning from the war, I learned many experts were concerned about low-level brain injuries among the troops. The rehabilitation experts at Veterans Affairs had been shocked to hear that soldiers and Marines who had been exposed to the concussive force of numerous blasts from roadside bombs, but not obviously injured, were routinely returned to duty. The VA experts worried that this could lead to an epidemic of mental health issues among veterans in the years to come. I asked at the Pentagon if anyone was concerned about this issue, and I got no answer. In Iraq, Bezell goes on to say, I found that what the VA experts were hearing is certainly true. Improvised explosive devices, IEDs, remain the signature weapon of this war. These bombs have gotten increasingly powerful. In the military hospitals in Iraq, most of the U.S. wounded had been injured by IEDs. Most surprising to me, it was not the first IED for most of them. In fact, I met several who had survived as many as 5 IED blasts. One young soldier had been through 5 in the past 6 weeks alone. The explosions often fracture limbs severely. Even with the best body armor, the concussive force can smash internal organs. Troops with obvious injuries receive immediate treatment and a fast trip home for rehabilitation. But what if the soldier just passes out? for a few minutes or an hour as a result of one of these attacks. That often happens when the brain is shaken against the skull and stops working temporarily. Right now, the procedure calls for that soldier to be checked out for a day at most and returned to duty. You Republicans are scum with your tacky ass little yellow ribbons on the backs of your SUVs talking about support the troops, and you send people to Washington who do this, who support this filthy president and this filthy Department of Defense and this filthy vice president and this filthy, gutless Congress that keeps sending these people back and back, the military that sends them back for tour after tour, the families in this country, the one-tenth of 1% of families that are carrying the burden of this filthy, disgusting war, and they're watching their people go over and have arms and legs blown off, have their lives ended, shattered, torn to pieces. And this son of a bitch in the White House just keeps doing it and doing it and doing it. Brain injuries. Okay, soldier, pick up your weapon and get back in your Humvee. What's my assignment? Get back in your Humvee. Do you ever feel like sometimes you just can't take it anymore? You can't take without just exploding what they are doing to the United States military. And what these, you know, I live in Atlanta, and the people in the suburbs around Atlanta, the white people that drive their great big goddamn vehicles that get what, 9 miles to the gallon. Gas is up here now; it's approaching $2.30 a gallon for regular again. And these pasty faced bastards that ride around with their George Bush 2004 stickers and their support the troops. And every one of these people is guilty of voting for Republicans that make this slaughter continue. And every one of these bastards is guilty of supporting right-wingers who do not support the very young men and women that we're sending into this meat grinder. I tell you, sometimes I feel like mounting an M50 on the deck of my pickup truck and just cruising around, and when I see one of those great big-ass Cadillac Escalades with a ribbon on the back, just lock it and load it and let go!
Sometimes I'm happy, you know, this is... But wars are not a time of joy. These aren't joyous times.
Oh, Jesus. All right, Bush acknowledged today when he went to that part of the world that is still festering and rotting thanks to the inability of his government to do anything, the inability of this rat bastard to feel anything that even borders on compassionate. For anything, unless it's for an oil company or a pipeline, you can get real compassionate real quick about that, right? He said today that the federal government hasn't moved fast enough to help residents recover from Katrina. He is the federal government. He is. You know, this is a part that drives me crazy. Bush and his Nazis have done everything that they can up to this point, there's more coming, to consolidate power, to utterly destroy the federal government and utterly nurture and create what his Tejano, Alberto Gonzalez, calls the unitary form of government, which is okay. It's okay. Nor in the Constitution does it say you have any rights. And turn it all into a one-man rule. And call that the federal government. But this rat bastard has the audacity to say that the federal government hasn't moved fast enough. to help people recover from Katrina. Oh, really? 18 months? Yeah. But he went on to declare, times are changing for the better. Bush said progress has been made, yet there is much work to be done. That sounds like some kind of a missionary in some jungle in Southeast Asia, or the East Indies or whatever it's called now, gathering headhunting tribesmen around him and saying, "You know, I brought Jesus to this godforsaken hole of an island 10 years ago, and progress has been made, but there's much work to be done." That's what it sounds like. He toured some homes in a Long Beach, Mississippi neighborhood that is still recovering from the storm, and he predicted a brighter future. What is this jackass, a fortune teller? Oh, look, let me look into the crystal ball. Oh, I see a brighter future. It's coming. Just hold on for another 6 years. What, your children died? Oh, well, you know, you're living in what? Oh, well, I'm sorry. So he talked with Ernie and Cheryl Woodward, who rebuilt their home with the help of a federal grant, and he gave them an American flag. Here, good little Ernie and Cheryl. Come here, you two. Get over here. Stand next to me. Let's get your picture. This would be worth a lot of money someday. Here's a flag. He came on a construction crew in as he's walking through a southern Mississippi neighborhood, and he hollers out the construction crew. You can hear him say this on TV. Staying busy? Can you imagine that? Staying busy? Hey, you boys, staying busy over? One of the workers told him the crew was still working on the same block of the same neighborhood where they have been for a year and a half. Hey, you boys, staying busy? How you doing? How about them New Orleans Saints, huh? All right, don't get too close. I don't, you know, y'all stink. You don't smell good. You know, it's like he doesn't understand and he doesn't care. It's not that he doesn't understand. Of course he understands it. He just doesn't give a tinker's damn about the suffering of thousands of homeless residents. How y'all doing? Keep busy? Hey, warm weather's coming. Don't worry about it. Wayne Dowdy, chairman of the Mississippi Democratic Party, said, what about those folks, the ones that are homeless? How will Bush help those who continue to suffer a year and a half after Hurricane Katrina struck our state? It's beyond... You know, what's the opposite of compassion? Contempt? All right, when we come back, I want you to hear in his own words. I've got, what have I got here, Kathy? One, two, three. I've got four or five clips from this toad today while he strolled through these devastated neighborhoods where people are still going insane and children are still attempting suicide. I want you to hear it. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
I can't say I sympathize with what your fate is going to need. Yes, for telling all those lies. No, nothing was delivered. Yes, and someone must explain.
It's good to see, be able to look in people's eyes and not see them all bloodshot.
And that is the voice of evil talking. Huh? That's what he said on his last trip down there, or was it the trip before, Kathy? He goes about every 6 months and pats everybody on the head and asks for a couple of little Negro children to be sent his way so he can scratch their woolly hair and get himself, being a white man, some good luck. You didn't know that? Yeah, you know, if you scratch a little Negro child's head in the Deep South, that brings a white man good luck. Come here, boy. Come here. Let me scratch your head a minute. This callous creep made his semi-annual tour of the Katrina-ravaged Gulf Coast today, stopping long enough to make sure false promises and talk about the bright, optimistic future. Hamina, hamina. Maybe he's just waiting until the remaining residents are so desperate they'll, let me think. Oh, I know, join the military. In this one, he talks about all the bright, optimistic successes that have occurred now that everyone is dry.
Somebody said, well, why did you come to Samuel J. Greene Charter School in New Orleans, Louisiana, when there's other places to go? Well, the answer is, there's nothing better to be in the middle of a bright spot, a place that just shines with optimism, in a part of the world that has gone through some really difficult times.
Oh.
And so I'm here to herald success. And I thank you all for giving me a chance to come. I mean, there's nothing more kind of illustrative of the issues that this community faces than to think that that blue line represented water and destruction. And yet, we're now dry. We're on dry land.
Don't kill me now.
And so I've come back to New Orleans, Louisiana, to remind people that the federal government still knows you exist.
Oh, thank you, Jesus and George. Wow, what a relief. Since you never even mentioned us in your filthy State of the Union address, we were beginning to wonder. Well, that's good to know. Now, how about a place to live or a job or some health care? Maybe a peanut butter sandwich. You got a moon pie over there in helicopter one, George? You murderous bastard. Ah. The President of the United States knows Mississippi and Louisiana exists. This part of the world, he calls it. Gold star for George. The condescending, smarmy, sarcastic attitude of this man. People have died there. It is a disaster zone. Volunteers are going down there, busting their collective asses to try to put people into shelters. And he comes down there and talks about, oh, wow, well, you know, I'm glad to see we're all on dry land. You know, these thugs need to go to one of those hotel seminars about how to manage money wisely. They have, according to the stories, we know this is not true, but according to the stories, they've lost billions in Iraq and billions in the Mississippi Gulf Coast. They haven't been lost. They haven't been lost. It's just gone into the right pockets. A lot of the money in Iraq that's been, quote, lost, end quote, has gone to finance terrorism. A lot of the money in the Mississippi Gulf Coast that has been, quote, lost, unquote, has gone to Bush's buddies. These largemouth white men who sit back on their corpulent asses and pocket the money. Hey, did you hear that one today? Somebody over here in so-and-so parish got all upset and climbed up into one of them palm trees up there and put a rope up there and tried to hang himself. And hell, the tree was so weak from the hurricane, the branch broke and he fell down and broke his arm. Ain't that funny? Ho, ho, ho. What do you call it? What do you call an attitude that lets these white conservative government contractors accidentally lose all this taxpayer money. Now, in this next one, Bush says he's put money out the door. Don't you love his 1980s business terms that he comes up with every once in a while? I put money out the door. And he wants to know why it's not out the door even farther, by golly gee.
You know, I came down here and spoke, and I said the federal government will be involved.
Oh.
And I said we're going to put money on the table to help follow that through.
What?
And I believe we have, with $110 billion. That's not to say there may be more money needed for the Gulf Coast, but $110 billion is a lot. And now the question is, are we going to be able to spend it wisely? Can we get it done? Can we get it to the people that need help? Just so you know, of the $110 billion, $86 billion of that's been obligated. In other words, it's out the door, but only $53 billion has been spent. And so part of the day today we talked about, if the money is out the door in Washington, where is it, and how come it hadn't been out farther?
What? What we talked about today, if the money is out the door in Washington, where is it? Where is it? $53 billion, where is it? What's the point? I don't know why I'm shattering my vocal cords. I wish I could be cool and calm and collected like Tom Hartman. I wish I could just be kind of feh, like my good friend Randy Rhodes. Why am I the one that winds up screaming about this stuff? Bush isn't any better at math or economics than he is at geography or basic political science or just plain manners. Listen here. It sounds like he's chastising the people of New Orleans for not being more grateful for what the, quote, taxpayers, end quote, have done for these refugees, these internal refugees in that far away part of the world. I'll bet if you asked the typical American taxpayer how they'd rather see their money spent, on rebuilding the Gulf Coast of Mississippi or destroying Iraq, I think I know which they would choose, don't you? So here is this rat bastard on sticky money and rude Katrina victims. Why, they're almost as ungrateful as those dirty Iraqis who don't appreciate how we liberated them.
It's important for the taxpayers from around the country who paid the bill to understand where we are in the process and to realize there's some really positive things taking place with the money that I believe the country has been generous about.
Y'all are dry now.
Because when you go to Congress and say we need $110 billion to help the people on the Gulf Coast, somebody has got to pay. That's the taxpayer. And the taxpayers come from more places than just Louisiana and Mississippi. It is the collective effort of the country as a whole. And I'm proud of the generosity of our citizens. Louisiana has now had $4.6 billion sent, and about $2.5 billion has not yet been spent. I guess what I'm telling you is that, first of all, there is money in the pipeline that I hope will help improve lives. And if it is stuck because of, you know, unnecessary bureaucracies, our responsibility at the federal, state, and local level is to unstick it.
Unstick it. Unstick it. And taxpayers come from more places than just Louisiana, Mississippi. God knows we're not collecting much from you lazy, unemployed deadbeats down here in this part of the world these days. How's a dictator supposed to fund the global oil well when you're letting me down? And who's the guy I didn't hear him in that soundbite? The last soundbite, Kathy, the guy in the background going, uh-huh. Yeah. Sounds like somebody from an amen corner in a church. Amen. Uh-huh. You know, we brought $53 billion. You notice how these figures, it was $53 billion, it was $110 billion, now it's $2.4 billion and $4.6 billion. Yeah, just throw out them figures. Throw them out. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Praise Jesus. Amen. Man. And construction workers are back there in that same block, you know, looking at each other. What in the hell is going on down here? Oh, man, that's the president. Oh, my God. Sarge writes in, this bunch of morons can't even do anything but cover up what they're doing here. Our much-needed Seabees from Gulfport, Mississippi, just got sent to Iraq, even though their expertise is needed bad right here. So why would they not cover up their wounded soldiers from their own creation when they try to cover up the death and mayhem from a damn hurricane of a year and a half ago? From Sarge. The Seabees from Gulfport, Mississippi, just got sent to Iraq. Well, yeah, you know, people of Iraq. That's what we're told. Actually, it's the oil companies that are now going to carve up and dismember Iraq to their great and everlasting gratitude towards George Bush. And the Seabees are needed to assist in the construction, you know. Evacuate. Niggas starving and they dying of thirst. I bet he had to go and check on them refineries first. Making a killing off the price of gas. He would have been up in Connecticut twice as fast. After all that we've been through, nothing's changed. You can call Red Cross, but the fact remains that George Bush don't like black people. George Bush don't like black people. George Bush don't like black people.
Get your rage on. It's Mike Malloy.
Oh, that's it. That's me. Okay, we're almost finished with these very quickly here. If you think Bush is inarticulate on economic matters, listen to him talk about, regional environmental concerns like levees and wetlands. You learn something new every time this freak speaks. He really is the educator in chief, you know. I had no idea wetlands caused hurricanes. Did you? Something's got to be done to stop the wetlands before they kill again, before they further destroy the coastlines.
We have said we're going to bring the levees up to stronger than ever, and I want to work with Congress to the best we can to get money. I'm real proud of another thing that's happened as a result of Democrats and Republicans working together, and that is that bill I signed that will enable more federal revenues to come down here to restore the wetlands. And the reason I bring that up, I'm a strong proponent of the restoration of the wetlands for a lot of reasons. There's a practical reason, though, when it comes to hurricanes. The stronger the wetlands, the more likely the damage of the hurricane.
Jesus Christ. Kill me now, please. The stronger the wetlands, the more likely the damage of the hurricane. So, after we stop those nasty wetlands from causing the hurricane damage, we got to stop all those forests from causing all those forest fires. I know, I'll call it my Healthy Forests Initiative. Oh, never mind, wait a minute, never mind. What was my interior, what's the lead lady's name? Gail Norton, yeah, she already took care of that, didn't she? So here's his parting shot at the devastated New Orleans residents. You got to like the part where he lectures them on how much work they have left to do. That was really, really nice, George. But no worries. He'll be back incognito after he's president.
And so the storm came, and it did terrible devastation.
Really?
But it gave a great chance for renewal.
Yeah.
I'm reminded of the New Orleans Saints football team. Here's a team that a lot of people didn't give much hope for, did they, when the season started?
No.
And it rose. It became a national story.
Yeah.
It was a factor in the championship. Same thing's going to happen to the city. You got work to do. You got work to do. I'm going to keep coming down so long as I'm the president. Then after I'm the president, we'll slide in incognito.
Oh, Jesus. after I'm refreshed, and I'm going to slide in incognito. I'm trying to talk like y'all talk down here. Watch this. Gumbo. Here, watch this. Shrimp. Watch this. Zydeco. Huh? Well, that ain't the way you say it. Well, watch this. Lazy bones. Lazy bones, Tim. Lazy bones, Tim. Roll on, roll tide. New Orleans Saints. This half-wit talks about the New Orleans Saints football team. A lot of people didn't give much hope for, did they? And it rose. It became a national story. It was a factor in the championship. Yeah, got his ass whipped. Oh, my God. You got work to do. In case you didn't hear me, let me say it again. You got work to do. Can I get an amen? And I'm going to keep coming down so long as I'm the president. I ain't going to do squat, but I'm going to keep coming down and lecture you little strange-looking brown people. Hell, I don't know about y'all. Some of you look like you're African, Afro-Americans, but you don't talk like them. I don't know. Y'all have this kind of little rhythm to the way you talk. You got any little of them little Negro children sent over here? I want to scratch a head before I have to leave. I need some luck. You know, they've stopped taking polls on me. Have you noticed that? You never hear that anymore about where my poll numbers are. You notice that? You know why? Yeah, because I threaten to kill the sons of bitches if they let y'all know I'm at 21% and dropping like a rock. I just want to scratch some little old Negro boy's head. Can I get, where's Trent? Trent? Trent, ain't you got one over there? Bring that little boy sucker over here. Come here, boy. What's your name? I bet your name's got a lot of S's and Y's in it, doesn't it? Isn't this like camp? This is like camp over here, isn't it? Huh? You like living in that tent? Hell, that's a big old tent. You know, when you join the army, you're going to live in a tent like that too. Huh? Man. This is, you know, y'all got a lot of work to do down here. You really do. And I want y'all to be like the New Orleans Saints football team. Okay? That ought to get an applause. Can I get an applause over on that one? Yeah. And I'll say it again, we're working to stop these hideous, horrible wetlands out here. Jesus Christ. Okay, well, this is March, April, May, June, July, August, September. Oh, next time he goes down, we'll be right in the middle of the new hurricane season. With any luck, to our listeners on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, and of course I know Sarge right now is probably thinking real hard about all this, but to our listeners on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, and you construction workers that were out there working on that same little piece of neighborhood that you all been working on for a year and a half now, to our listeners in the Mississippi Gulf Coast, wasn't it just a joy and a delight to have his Excellency George W. Bush come down and walk among you today, huh? Just walk among you, distributing largesse and crusts of bread and conversation about New Orleans Saints, huh? Don't y'all feel uplifted? Isn't it great? Isn't it wonderful? This is a great country. By God, it's a great country. Welcome back. About 7 past the hour. I asked earlier tonight, what's the opposite of compassion? And Wiley wrote in, it's the same as the opposite of love. It's apathy. And from Prairie 2, regarding the brain-injured soldiers who may suffer concussion, lose consciousness, what have you, but don't have open, gaping, sucking wounds and are sent back into combat, Prairie 2 writes, Mike, the brain injury scandal is even worse than you reported. Soldiers who are returned to duty with no treatment often can no longer function because they develop personality problems or appear lazy because they just can't remember what to do. These men are written up for non-medical disciplinary discharges and shipped home. The poor performance appears on their discharge papers and they become unemployable. What Bush and Rumsfeld and Cheney have done to the United States military is, I can't find the words for it. An outrage that doesn't even come close. And the last thing I've got tonight is the fact that Senate Democrats, quote, overwhelmingly, close quote, rejected a proposal to cut the Bush administration's war spending request for next year by $20 billion. That's according to the Senate Budget Committee Chairman Kent Conrad, North Dakota Democrat. He said his colleagues in an informal meeting shot down his hours-old proposal to pare down a little bit the administration's $142 billion request for the fiscal year beginning October 1st. October 1st. This is March 1st, roughly. Conrad said, quote, the caucus, referring to the Democrats, overwhelmingly agreed that the budget resolution should reflect the president's request. Therefore, that's what I intend to do, end quote. Conrad said that while there were several reasons why his colleagues rejected the proposal, some were wary of appearing to be undermining the war. Conrad said, quote, there were some who said, gee, this is going to send the wrong signal. It's going to look like we're cutting funding for the troops, end quote. Oh, my God. So fiscal year 2008, which is starts out with a $142 billion request for Iraq, you know that's nonsense. You know it's going to be 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 times that. But the Senate Democrats on the rejected the advice or the effort by the Budget Committee Chairman, Kent Conrad, to cut that by about $40 billion. Just make some goddamn effort to let Bush know he can't keep doing this. And no, the Senate Democrats won't do it. Why?
Well, that'll make it look like we're not supporting him. It'll make it look like we're not supporting the troops.
This is so pathetic. This is so pathetic. The Republicans in the Senate are just laughing their asses off. They know the Democrats will not do anything because the Democratic Party leadership apparently consists of nothing but cowards and street whores. No offense to sex workers. And the Republicans also know that they've got their ace in the hole, Joe Lieberman. And if the Democrats do anything to interfere with Bush's murder spree that Lieberman totally supports because Lieberman totally is supported by AIPAC and totally believes that what's good for Israel has got to be good for the United States. So the Republicans hold Joe Lieberman in abeyance. And behind the scenes, they just say to the Democrats, go ahead. Go ahead. Play around as much as you want. Eh? But if you cut anything out of the war budget, if you do anything we don't like, we're going to play the Joe Lieberman card. And then guess what? Guess what? Guess what? Then we're in charge because not only do we have Lieberman, we have Cheney. my God. Oh, my God. Cutting the funding, the only way the Congress can stop this madness, I guess. I thought the War Powers Act said that after a resolution is passed to send troops into a battle zone or create a battle zone, that the president has 90 days, after which he's got to go back to the Congress and ask for a full authorization. I don't remember that happening. Maybe it did. I don't think so. But the Democrats in the Senate, who won't even make the effort of cutting $40 billion from next year's Iraq budget, even though their budget committee chairman recommends it. Well, that's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to go nutball on the Democrats. I know a lot of people who listen to this program who are very pro-Democrat, like I am, but not these Democrats, hate it when I go off on Democrats like that. If I go off on Hillary or go off on a Democratic leadership or Nancy Pelosi or Harry Reid, and you know, it's too late to piss everybody off. So let's do some phone calls. Can we do some phone calls? Let's do some phone calls. Let's start with Will in Michigan. I'm sorry, Will.
Hey, Mike.
My eyes are just upside down tonight. Hey, Will.
I wanted to call and give you an update on the murder we had here locally.
The anti-war activist?
Yeah.
All right, what happened?
I would have just emailed you, but we've got some rather interesting developments. The suspect in the case that police had found about 12 hours after they found the body has committed suicide after confessing to the crime.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. They found the guy in the stolen pickup truck, and he confessed and immediately pulled a gun out and put it to his head.
Okay.
So, and you know, the coroner's office hasn't released any information on the autopsy, but the police are already considering it case closed.
What do you consider it?
It's hard to say. I mean, with these bizarre developments, with you know the suspect in the case committing suicide, you know, it looks like there isn't going to be any trial or anything, and unless the coroner's report says that this guy didn't do it, then you know. There's nothing that can be done. So,
do you see anything conspiratorial here? Do you think this is a random murder and the guy just freaked after being caught and decided to off himself? What?
To tell you the truth, I have no idea what has happened to him. In this case, I mean, it's there's too much information that I don't have yet.
All right. Well, again, like I mentioned the other night, keep us posted about this, Will, because it just seems like there's so many suicides by so many people who are involved in some way, tangentially or directly, in anti-Bush or anti-war stuff. It's just too bizarre. Thanks, Will.
I appreciate
you checking in.
All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly. Into the line of a dark black night.
Don't be left out. Join your friends at the NSA and Homeland Security and listen to Mike Malloy every single night. They never miss a minute.
I don't know if that's good or bad. 21 past the hour. Back to your phone calls. Matthew is calling from Bedford, Texas. Hey, Matthew. Hey, Matthew.
Hey, Mike.
Speak up. I can barely hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, well, a little bit better. Go ahead. What you got on your mind?
I need somebody to kill me right now.
Well, you live in Texas, so...
Yeah. Meth, pistol, rifle, shotgun, AT-4 rocket launcher. Just put it to the back row of my teeth.
All right, Matthew, what's up?
Well, it just amazes me, never ending, how the ignorance of the American people will keep fueling this fascist regime. And through the never-ending sessions of my trying to figure out how to solve it, I've got an even better quick fix for Republican scum.
Okay, go ahead, quickly.
Bear traps.
Bear traps?
Put them in the road, put them in the fields, put them in the grass. Bear traps.
Yeah?
Hey, that's it. They are stupid enough, they'll walk into them, and whenever we find them the next morning, just drag them off.
I see. What about the puppies and children and old ladies who get caught in the bear traps?
We'll put big signs up that says, be careful, bear traps.
Ah, and that won't keep the Republicans away?
Republicans are stupid, remember? They can't tell a car bomb from a cantaloupe.
All right, now, Matthew, you're 17, right?
Unfortunately.
Yeah, well, no, that's actually, it's fortunately. Well, you're right, maybe so. I wish I were going to be alive 30 years from now. I'd love to see how you turn out when you're 47. I swear to God, either you're going to be on the most wanted list or you're going to be like president.
You want to know what my biggest dream is?
Making it to 18?
Well, that.
Yeah.
But I'd love to be a talk show host.
A what?
I'd love to be a talk show host.
Why?
Well, let's put it this way.
The glamour?
Well, no.
The money?
No.
The working hours?
The ability to rant without people having to see your face every day.
Well, okay, that's pretty cool. Kind of like being a moving target in the dark.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, okay.
Well, let's put it this way. For me to come on this show... For me to speak out, for me to voice my opinion, and by the way, shout out to my homies at the NSA, but for me to say anything on this program automatically puts me on some manner of a list that says, hey, this kid is one of what we consider to be a, quote, potential terrorist, end quote. So I'm screwed anyway.
Yeah,
so I might as well put my voice behind a microphone and say, okay, this is my opinion, and, you know, people are welcome to answer it, people are welcome to reply it, but, I never want to be in a position of actual power, because, quite frankly, I've seen what power does to people. Look at the Democrats, look at the Republicans. I just would like to voice put out my voice, and not have to worry about, oh, well, will I get elected next year? Oh, will I have to worry about a scandal? Oh, well, there's scandals anyway. But, I mean, it's just one of those things that I like speaking, but I don't like being in a position of actual command because, you just never know what that does to you.
All right. Well, that's fair. And as far
power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts, absolutely.
Well, that applies to Republicans. Where it concerns Democrats, power makes them run and hide and wet themselves because they're afraid to use it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. All right. Well, Matthew, I've written all this down, so I know exactly where you stand. And again, there's a part of me that would just love to be alive 30 years from now to see. See if you turn out to be on the top of the FBI's most wanted list or an exalted political leader. Or maybe not political. Maybe you'll turn out to be some kind of a financial guru, or you'll establish a religion. I just see great things for you, Matthew. I really do, okay?
Thank you, Mike. I just have to ask one last thing, though.
Yeah?
What's the difference between a politician and a criminal?
How quickly do you need the answer?
Hey, personally speaking, I can't see any difference.
Well, in some instances, I cannot condemn all politicians. I really can't, even today, because if I did that, I'd have to condemn people like Sheila Jackson Lee or Dennis Kucinich, and I can't quite do that. Matthew, stay in touch. Love hearing from you. Take care, okay?
Will do, buddy.
All right, buddy. Okay. I've got cheese in my basement older than that kid. Always good to hear from you, Matthew.
It's over. It ain't going any further. And now the wheels of heaven stop. You feel the devil's riding crop. Get ready for the future. It is murder.
Next best thing to an impeachment hearing, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
Before the hour, Malloy here on Nova M Radio Network. Back to your phone calls. JP is calling from Dawsonville, Georgia. Hey, JP.
Hey, Mike.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I guess one reason I'm calling in, I was reading a poll recently that shows that Bush is down to 29%. And I don't understand why Democrats in the Senate are afraid to go after this guy.
Because they're Democrats?
Well, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's if you remember what happened back in 91, or I think it was 90, Bush raised taxes, and he went into the Persian Gulf, he started the Persian Gulf War.
Right.
And basically what he was doing was he was saying that if you want to support this war in Iraq, you're going to have to pay a higher tax. Now, all Democrats basically have to do is say, okay, Republicans, if you support this war, you need to do more and put yellow stickers on your car.
Yeah.
You have to pay a tax so it doesn't add to the debt. And you'll see the Republican coalition just break down like that. I mean, you won't even have a Republican coalition. But these Democrats are too chicken to even do that. I mean, that's all it takes. We would have a New Deal majority again if Democrats stood up for that kind of principle.
Yeah, I'm losing faith again. This happens to me periodically. I lose faith in the Democratic Party.
Well, don't lose faith. I mean, they can do it. It's easy to do. It's just they're afraid of this. It's like the Incredible Hulk. They're afraid of the Green Man who's just not out there.
Yeah, but JP, I don't like cowards. I just don't. Any cowardice that exists in me is something I've tried to murder over the course of my life. I'm not saying I'm this great brave person, but I'm not a coward, and I don't like cowardice. And every time I start to lose faith in my Democrats or in the Democratic Party, the Republicans become so bullyish and so murderous and so psychotic that I think, okay, I'm going to do everything I can with my big ass mouth to try to get Democrats elected. And then they get elected, and then I go, okay, here we go, ready, one, two, and nothing happens. And I sit here and I go, oh my God, so.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, another thing I was going to bring up. Remember Oklahoma City?
Yes.
And after that federal building was blown up, who got the blame for it? It was Clinton and Janet Reno. Republicans didn't stop slamming them and slamming them. Clinton wanted to put the gun control legislation in place and all kinds of other legislation to stop it from happening again. And Republicans just tore him apart. And correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't it a radical right-wing group who planted that bomb in Oklahoma City?
Well, that's another.
And who got the blame for it? I mean, and you don't hear Democrats going after Bush after 9/11. And he's the one that deserves the blame. He's the commander-in-chief.
Well, sure. You know, as far as Timothy McVeigh and the other guy who's now in prison, who's now saying that there was FBI involvement in the selection of the target and what have you, you know, here we go. Another story that I don't think we'll ever really know the truth. But you're right, as far as the Republicans just willing to heap as many shovels of cow manure on the nearest Democrat as they can possibly heap. No matter what happens, Republicans are like fire ants. You live here in the South, so you know what I'm talking about fire ants. They don't stop until their victim is dead.
Well, let me say one thing.
Democrats just don't do that.
In my opinion, there isn't even a Republican Party because they don't even have a clear philosophy. And I think something like what I just said, just saying, okay, if you really support this war, here's what you have to do, and then introduce a national sales tax or something like that, you'd see that Republican Party just dissolve like sugar. I mean,
well, let me offer a devil's advocate position. No, if the Democratic leadership introduced a war tax, which we've always had, I believe, except for Vietnam, if the Democrats introduced a war tax, well, the war tax in Vietnam was the draft. But if such a tax were introduced, the Republicans would immediately change, would frame the issue. To the point where the Democrats, once again, they get back in power, they're tax and spend, and the incredibly ignorant, willfully ignorant American public, for the most part, would say, yeah, that's right, just tax and spend, and the whole issue that you're presenting would be lost in American ignorance. You know, I hear about possible solutions to all the stuff that we deal with, and I think to myself, you know, there's a momentary flash of reason where I think, yeah, that'll work, and then I think how stupid the American public is, and I think, no, what has to happen is an education process first, and I don't know that that's ever going to happen.
Okay,
and
I got one thing I want to say before I'm
okay.
I know you've had this Kucinich on the program a few times. I know it's probably hard to get some of these candidates on the program. One person that I would like you to try is Mike Gravel, because he's got a lot of interesting positions. I'd love to tune in one day when he's on your program. You know who I'm talking about, Mike Gravel.
Okay, either you sent me that email or somebody else did suggesting the same thing. Was that you?
No, it wasn't me.
Okay,
I may have posted it at DU. But
no, somebody sent me an email suggesting Mike Gravel. So,
well, again, back to the taxes thing. I think there's no way they can't have it both ways. They can't say they support the war and not support paying for it.
Well, they always have. They've been doing it for 6 years. What are you talking about, JP?
Our party hasn't been holding them accountable. And what I'm saying is that Democrats can win if they do that.
Okay, I agree with you. But our party, even though it is now in a position of power in both houses, kind of in the Senate, there's always Joe Lieberman, they are still not holding the Republicans accountable. They're not holding themselves accountable. What?
And that's why we have people like you on the air, to help remind voters, okay, call these Democrats.
Oh, please.
Well, all right, I guess I'm...
All right, JP, I know what you're saying, and as usual, I agree with what you're saying. And I don't mean to sound like a cynic, negative radio talk show host. I do believe what you're talking about could happen. Whether or not it will happen, I don't think depends on what is said on this program or what a few Democrats like Dennis Kucinich or Sheila Jackson Lee try to do. I think it has to do with the American public coming out of the ether. Now, maybe the American public is coming out of the ether.
I live in Dawson County.
I know.
That was a one-party county, Republican.
Right.
We just restarted the Democratic Party in this county. And that room was full. When we had our meetings.
I hear you and I respect that, but take a look at our state, JP. The entire state is one party.
Well, we can revive the party.
I hope the revolution in Georgia comes out of Dawson County. I do. JP, always good to hear from you. Thanks
all
a
right.
lot, pal. I appreciate it. Take care. Yeah, I do get into that negativity, and only when I look around and see like what happened today with Kent Conrad saying, we talked about it. I wanted to cut the war budget for 08 by $40 billion, because it's just money going into the pockets of contractors. It has nothing to do with the taking care of our troops, not our active troops or our veterans, nothing. It's money, it's slush fund that these filthy Republican pigs use and their contractor buddies use. And I tried to get my caucus to cut $40 billion and they wouldn't. And I see a story like that and I feel the bile in my gullet and I shake my head and I just... Like you, I just sit there and stare into middle space, and I think to myself, what in the hell? What in the hell? You mean to tell me that the Democratic Party leadership won't even make a stand on next year's war budget, you spineless bastards? And then I think about what I get scores of emails telling me, Malloy, you're out of your mind. Democrats are the same as Republicans. Get real. Join the Greens. Join the Independents. Become a LaRouchian. Do this. Do that. But quit back in the Democratic Party. It's a waste. It's hopeless. It's bull. Forget it. And maybe the people that tell me that are wiser than me, smarter than me, and have it figured out. Maybe I'm just snared in what I was taught to believe, that the Democratic Party was the party that cared about Americans, all Americans. What? Democratic Party cares about all Americans. Democratic. Okay, yeah, I know how that sounds. Stuck. Back to your phone calls. Thomas in Mountain Ranch, California is on the line. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm good. I was thinking, to talk a little bit about the bush down in New Orleans. But, I just got to change the topic. In regards to the senators who just can't seem to muster up any of the gumption to cut any kind of funding, do any kind of serious review of this crime family, it just blows me away. And the thing that really frosts me...
Can you hold it right there, the thing that really frosts you, all right, Thomas? And when we come back, tell us what it is. We got a break here. I'm Mike Malloy. This is NOVAM Radio. Nine before the hour, Thanks to Ian Huff, who engineered the program and answered your calls. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Mark Marshall, our webmaster. The moderators at MikeMalloy.com. Please go to NovaMRadio.com and sign up for downloads and podcasts and a chance to win $10,000. Back to who were we talking to? Thomas, Mount Ranch, Georgia, California. Go ahead, Thomas.
Thanks, Mike. But the thing that really just makes me so angry is the our representatives. What does it cost to win a congressional seat? $6, $7, $8 million to win a Senate seat. It's twice as that. And these guys, they're not hurting for cash. So what does it matter if they get bumped, rubbed, or sent out of office? We forgot to stand up and say this is wrong.
Exactly.
I mean, what does it take? I mean, I'm so frustrated and so angry. I call, I write, I email. I don't even get any responses back from Feinstein. They just quit sending their form letter back to me. I don't get any response from Boxer, and I certainly don't get anything back from Pelosi. It's like, holy mackerel, what is it going to take to get these guys to wake up and say what's going on is wrong?
I don't know, Thomas. I wish I had the answer. I have a topic for tomorrow, Friday's program, that's going to address what you just brought up. But I don't know. It's just heartbreaking.
Heartbreaking. I mean, it's just made me more. I'm more cynical than I've ever been before.
I hear you.
It makes me just want to throw my hands up.
I hear you.
Trudging along, just like most everybody else.
I know.
Well, I'll let you go, but there was one thing I wanted to say. There was a guy who called back months ago, and he was really hammering on you for being such a boor. Remember that guy?
Yes. Yeah, right.
That was a hilarious phone call. But I'm glad you're on the air because you're my favorite boor.
Well, thanks, Thomas. All right, man, keep your chin up. That's all I can say. I tell myself every day, keep your chin up, Malloy. Keep your chin up, Thomas. Thanks for checking in, pal.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, take care. Mary is calling from, is this the Associated Press woman? Mary is calling from Colorado Springs, Colorado. Mary, welcome to the program.
That's right, Mike. I just was calling in with another update for you and your listeners.
Oh, okay.
Ted Haggard is still a heterosexual.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. That's important. Suzanne in L.A. writes in, come on, Mike, we've only got 240 more signers to go at draftgore.com for 50,000. Give it a rant, okay? Be happy to, Suzanne. Go to draftgore.com, not Draft Al Gore, draftgore.com, and sign the petition if you haven't done it yet, okay? The more I think about this, the more I'm becoming convinced that Al Gore may have some of the answers that we desperately need. I don't know. Do you all think so? Huh? We'll be talking about it as we go along here. But go to draftgore.com. When Suzanne wrote this, they were needing 240 signers. I imagine now it's probably down to about 200. But if you haven't signed, maybe it's because you don't want Al Gore. Okay, that's cool. But if you think Al Gore, who is certainly about the only politician, well, he's not a politician right now, he's a private citizen, but about the only American willing to speak to this issue of global heating, climate change, the way he's able to do it. He's about the only American who's willing to do it. If you think that issue needs attention, if you think Al Gore was fully trained to be president of the United States after 8 years, if you think Al Gore won the presidency in 2000, if you think whatever position you take on it, if it is pro Al Gore, I'll tell you, I'm beginning to, it's starting to gel in my head. Gore Clark. Al Gore and Wesley Clark. It's just starting to be there. I'm fighting it because, this is, we're so far away from the election, and the swearing in January of 2008, but it's just forcing its way into my brain. Gore Clark. And I got an email from somebody the other day that pointed out to me that both of them are warmongering sons of bitches who wreaked a genocide on the Serbs. And, you know, it's like, oh, man. Whew. Okay. But it keeps floating into my head. Gore, Clark, Al Gore, Wesley Clark, Al Gore, Wesley Clark. I don't know. Kathy, can you stop it? Can you make this stop? Is there anything you can do? We're about out of time, aren't we? Is it time to go home? It's time to go home. Gore Clark. Gore Clark. I don't know. I don't know what that is. Thanks for participating in the program tonight, however you did that. Even your right-wing toads who sit out there and grunt and listen. I do appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Friday night. Oh, my God. See you tomorrow night. Take care. All right? Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.